Hi, Mark.
Hi, Jay.
Hi, Dave.
Hey, Mark and Jay.
Interestingly enough, and this is now the second time this has happened to me, two shows into 2024, and both times when before we had the guest on, I'm doing preparations and getting things together, and then a news story breaks literally the day before that, you know, has to be discussed. of course, I'm talking about the tunnels being discovered in New York City in the Hasidic.
Yeah, I just saw that for the first time 2 minutes ago.
Right. Okay. And everyone's freaking out and thinking there's all this nefarious stuff, and that might be true or may not be true. But I think we all, everyone in this room knows that actually what's going on is Tartaria. It's as obvious as anything, really, I think. Sorry. It's my little lame little conspiracy.
I just saw a short, like 2 seconds, like mystery tunnel. A meme. I don't even know anything about it. Like, tunneling noises under a synagogue. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. So that they heard. So apparently the reports happened that people thought that there was sounds of people inside their house. And the police went to investigate and found these tunnels. I'll just play this little clip.
Old tunnels.
Well, that's where we're going to go. But I think apparently the story is that they dug them during COVID.
Yeah, here you go. There's a guy coming up out of. Well, it gets confusing.
Oh, yeah?
They're very, very upset about the tunnels being found.
Yeah, it's like a full-on...
What? Okay. It's going on.
Well, this is interesting, right? This is the interesting thing. So now that there's two narratives being presented. For a while, they were both at the same time. One was that the tunnels were dug during COVID so that they could... continue practicing. That seems to, at least that sounds kind of logical. Crazy, but you know, Michigan, but you know, still it's plausible. The other report is that they were only dug about 6 months ago, which if we follow the timeline, New York finished all of its lockdowns restrictions about a year ago. So that doesn't make much sense. They're now also hauling out things like mattresses with weird stains on them. And there was like baby seats and chairs and down in the tunnels and a whole bunch of stuff. So it'll, I think some things are being revealed. There was also at the same time, I mean, this was all happening. They were getting all upset in the clip you saw, a lot of the temple, partitioners, tearing down walls and getting kind of in the tunnels and blocking up people, blocking the police from going in there. One of the major things is that they were bringing cement trucks in to seal up the tunnels because their biggest concern, the city's biggest concern, was that this was going to be weakening foundations and like taking down buildings.
That, they always do that. They pour cement, like when Epstein was arrested, cement boats with cement went to fill up crap there.
Well, what's going on with that tennis court? That's the interesting
thing. Oh my God. I just saw that too the other day. That's crazy.
On little St. James, there was a building, and then they had this big giant tennis court. And there's rumors that there's some stuff going on underneath the tennis court. There's like chambers.
No. It was they saw Google Earth had a mass grave. It basically showed a whole bunch of what appeared to be graves. Then it was dug up, and a tennis court was put there. Then that was dug up, and a parking lot was put there, a berm parking lot raised. I mean, they're hiding.
Wow.
Bodies.
And this is all something. Recently, like since.
Yep. Go watch Greg, the Reese report. Everybody listening, you need to sign up. Just watch on Telegram and what's that other platform? I don't forget what it's called, but it's the Reese report. It's like a Rumble blog thing. Not Rumble. It's like I forget what it's called. It'll come to me. I'll scream it out in the middle of the show as soon as I remember. but the Greg Reese, the Reese Report, sign up. Just subscribe to it and watch it. His latest one is on that, and it's well done. Greg's amazing. Does amazing reports.
Okay, cool. All right, check it out.
Things are happening. We have the Giants in Miami that we talked about last week with cryptos. Yeah. We have what seems to be like the city of New York, at least, turning temporarily on the Hasidic community, Hasidim community, because there's also there was also reports of there was a report call outs to arrest certain rabbis for exposing himself to young children and a whole bunch of other things going on. So this might be a tip of an iceberg. We'll see how much this gets buried. Yeah, is 2024. There's an apocalypse happening, and in the Russian Orthodox tradition or the Greek tradition, apocalypse means all things hidden will be revealed, essentially.
Right.
So it's revealing those things that have been hidden, lies, empire of lies, all these things. Cat Williams just appeared on this guy's YouTube show called Shay Shay. Cat Williams is a very famous black comedian. Dropped some truth bombs on guys like on a whole bunch of black comedians and actors. It's gotten over 35 million views and counting. It's wow. Like there's people who want the truth. The truth is coming out this year in a major, major way. And I mean, this is a very long intro for David, but I can't think of anyone else who we'd rather have on the show to start to talk, start dropping some truth bombs. Like right now, if you listen, if everyone just stops and listens, we can hear people in the comment section, David haters in the comment section, just filling it up with absolute essays about how we're wrong about everything and anything that we just said.
So it's my
flat earth is a psyop. I'm in it for the money. Uh-huh. I'm here to deceive.
You, sir, are the greatest grifter in the history.
Yeah. Flat earth has been disproven. The globe is, we've all known the globe for 2,000 years. Where's your proof? Three Bitcoins I'm offering. That's $125,000 for one globe proof. They don't even try. Don't even try because they have nothing. They have nothing.
A deferment. It's always a deferment to someone else, right? To some other piece of information or someone else who said this, yada, yada, yada. And everyone, I mean, like, that's fine, Ferry. That's, I was used to be in that mindset of like, well, of course, no. And I'd show a study, and, the guy in Greeks and Wells and figured out the circumference of the blah, blah, blah. But when you have to, the whole point of all these shows, when we do these shows, the fundamental thing here, if we can convince people otherwise of that, that's great. But what's really, at least my aim here is to say, why do you know what you know? How do you know what you know? And if you trace it back, most likely it's because they told you in school. That's mm-hmm. it. That's your whole reasoning is because they told you this in school. And you've just accepted it and moved on with your whole life and just built a reality around this thing. And even if we can poke holes, I'll put it this way. Let's just say, for the sake of saying, the Earth is a globe, just for the sake of saying, okay? It's the narratives they've built up around it don't make sense, though. If I can poke holes in your narrative, then the stories you're telling about this thing are false, if nothing else. And shouldn't that give you pause? Like, why can us, like non-scientists, quote unquote, we don't have lab coats, we don't have PhDs, we're not, but we can easily just go, well, that doesn't make sense, and that doesn't add up, and you can't do that, and nope, sorry, this is bullshit. And if we can do it at will, then something is wrong. Like, there's something wrong in your story. Figure out your story, update it, do something. It's the same thing I felt about dinosaurs. Dinosaurs just don't make sense.
It's amazing that you get a globe believer, flat earth denier, and they'll be like, well, Eratosthenes, and you show them Eratosthenes, it doesn't prove anything and that it's a lie. Then they go, whoa, gravity, and you show them how gravity doesn't work and it's all nonsense. What about photos from space? They just scatter. They ignore everything, and they just go again and again and again. And then if they're intelligent, at some point they'll go, well, why the lie? And why the lie is my favorite question.
Yeah.
Because it's the one that
over Christmas, I was talking to another very, very famous YouTuber and mentioning our show and saying, oh, we had you on. And he said, oh, he talked to, I believe, Mark Sargent. And he was like, yeah, I'm not convinced. He's not even convinced that he believes it. And then he went to that automatic list of questions that every single person who comes across the topic goes through. And he's like, well, the moon is round. If the moon is round, why wouldn't the earth be round? And I was like, well, and just thinking about it at the time, I was like, actually, we know it's circular. Round, spherical is another thing. And he didn't even know.
I think it's spherical. I think it's spherical.
So, okay, so why do we only see one? Like, there's, as far as I know, and we looked this up, and he was kind of interested in the idea because he'd never heard of it, that we only see one face of the
maybe
moon.
It's a half a sphere. Maybe it's only half a sphere.
Maybe it's a semisphere, right?
Maybe it's a semisphere, right? But it looks spherical to me. You know, why are cantaloupe spheres and bananas? You know, why can't a banana be a cantaloupe? And, you know, they're both fruit.
Well, that's it. Like, why is a pool table flat when the balls are round, right? Like, it could be just because one thing is one thing. But I'm saying we don't even know that it's. What if it's just a flat? What if the moon is flat?
Yeah, it might be.
From our observable perspective, we see maybe
the moon is projected onto projected onto our flat sky, like a sky screen. Right. Think about it. When you're looking at a television and you're off to the left of the room and someone else is off to the right, the person looking out at the camera is looking at both of you in two different directions. And you mm-hmm. both see it the same way. It looks like they're looking at you. So people say, well, the moon, you know, if the earth was flat, you'd see like a partial other side of the moon. I don't think so.
Well, I don't think that maybe some people think it is a reflection of the Earth, and that I've seen, you know, it didn't really line up, but I was like, oh, it's you know, a light refracting, bouncing off, and then you were just seeing a reflection on a thing, which, you know.
Yeah. The moon map. Now, reflection is a strong word. There is in my opinion, a pretty strong case for a correlation to the patterns on the moon and the Earth land below. So, you know, as above, mm-hmm. so below. Is it a snapshot? Is it a reflection? I don't think those are the right words. I think there is a connection. I mean, the moon affects women's birth cycles. Okay. So there is a connection to mm-hmm. this realm. Now, this is part of the system. So,
Well, I think that's the problem with a lot of
the world. Yeah. No,
is that the moon? Yeah, I think the problem for a lot of people is that they assume that because you're questioning, you think that things aren't things. Like, no, we know it's a thing that exists. We're just questioning, do we actually fully understand what the thing is, and why couldn't it be way cooler than the really boring story we're told? Well, this fanciful.
There's like scientific proof within particle physics that by observing something, you can actually change the position of a particle, mm-hmm. that particles will tend to change their direction or qualities based on being observed. So the thing that is always left out is consciousness. Like, how much are we affecting what we see? And the information we're receiving then gets parsed through a narrative machine in our head and goes, well, this is this. This equals this. This goes into my, I won't bore you here, David, but like I have a proof for flat Earth from a philosophical position where it's that you live on a flat Earth in terms of your perception. You don't orientate yourself on a globe. You're not talking longitude and latitudes, even though that would work on a flat plane as well. But like, you know, you don't have a relationship to a globe. You have a relationship to walking on a flat plane. And so
longitude and latitudes are a two-dimensional coordinate system that makes perfect sense on a flat Earth. If we lived on a globe, where's the z-axis? Okay, where, you know, there should be an x, a y, and a z, but there's not. There's just an x and a y. How the hell does that work? Well, it works for navigation. Yeah, it works for navigation because the Earth is flat.
Right. Well, that's why I think the larger topic here is almost more philosophical than scientific. Obviously, you have the two sides, which is Well, the whole priest class, everyone in one class gets one result, and everyone in another class gets another. So whenever
I thought you had a weird holiday clip of Mark there in the background for a second.
Doesn't it look like Zuckerberg?
No, I'm talking like Mark.
So this just real quick. This guy is facing forward, right? So on the left, it's facing left. On the right, so you know the sky, in my opinion, is water, plasma. Well, I don't know what the heck we're seeing. And the moon is projected like he's being projected onto the surface. And so no matter where you are, you see the same side.
Yeah, exactly. That's why it appears more like a rainbow than something specific, because it's reflected. And just to bring you back, I was speaking before we went live that you were supposed to come. We did a friend or fed on Santa, and I thought he would have been a great guest because basically the idea of Santa Claus getting in his sled and delivering presents to every person around the world is about as realistic as that picture you're showing there. The story we're told that astronauts got into a ship in 1960. When was the first moon landing? 67?
Yeah, late 60s.
No. That they got into a rocket shot from Earth. And the first time, because for me, even as scientifically illiterate as I am, in order to estimate where the Goldilocks gravity zone of a space body, like where that would be, you'd have to know how big the thing was, exactly how far away it was, and what it was made of, and how dense it was in order to calculate the gravity. So just to hit the Goldilocks zone on the first shot when you've got people in your ship is astronomically impossible. But then to circle around, drop off somebody, have them go down to the surface, walk around, get back on their ship, shoot back up, attach to the other ship, leave that Goldilocks zone, go back to Earth, hit the Goldilocks zone again, then land and pull it off. So I think Santa's maybe even more realistic, but people have a desire to believe that story, because if they don't, then it shakes the foundation of what they see as true.
It was on TV, Mark. It was on TV in all the places. Come on. They made movies. Spielberg's made movies about this thing. How could it be possibly a lie? All these people are lying?
Guys, look at this. The nozzle is down here, right? The nozzle that, you know, didn't blow any dust around. And so the nozzle's down here. So what did that go off? Like a skeet shooter or whatever? So boom, and now it's gliding up, and the orbiter with the one guy on it is going to meet at 2,000 miles an hour. It's just going to meet, and somehow it's going to pick up the tangential speed. It's going to connect, and they're going to leave lunar orbit and head back to Earth. That's moving, you know, in its own directions.
Right. That doesn't even count the fact that both of these heavenly bodies are hurling through space at astronomical speeds already, and they've got to line that up. Like the more you tell someone, I think it's again that Dunning-Kruger thing where people don't know the story. Even they're like, "Yeah, we walked on the moon because I saw it on TV." And like, do you know what that entails? Like, do you know what the actual journey would have had to have been? And every step along the process is something that Elon Musk can't pull off today with all the money in the world and another 60 years of science.
My absolute favorite. Sorry, David. I'll just throw this in. My absolute favorite is the spacesuit thing. Because then you bring up like, well, what about the radiation? And what about, you know, like all the other things? They're like, well, those spacesuits are completely, they're completely shields for that. I'm like, really? Yeah. So you think that in 1968, they developed a technology that could keep out solar radiation with material, and they haven't commercialized that material at all. They made tangent
and keep it pressurized where they don't explode. Like, keep the air in there. Right.
Yeah. Without an exoskeleton.
Where's this technology for deep sea exploration or any of that? Or just for like, hey, you want to wear like a rashy for the beach? Like, so you keep the solar radiation off, you know, the skin cancer thing. No, never happened.
Two of the astronauts land on the moon. This guy stays up in the orbiter. Look at the what are these notes? This little scrapbook he's reading. Is this like important stuff? What's he doing? Right. And then it floats up. And who the heck is filming this? How's that camera moving? There's no one else on the spaceship. Okay. This is just done in a zero G plane, a couple takes, right? He looks a little nauseous, if you ask me, from all of the parabolic arcs. But you know, what's really going on here? What's he doing?
It was
they had
built GoPros back in 1968, and it just took a long time to get them out to the public.
Yeah. Right. That's it. Yeah. Everything we have now was actually secretly invented for the original spacewalk, and then they've just been slow dripping it over time, so we don't get shocked by how advanced they were. That's what makes sense. Even amazing. I've heard even the story that of like how they would put, like, have you ever watched a video of someone putting on a spacesuit? And it like takes,
it's impossible. It's like a team of people, right? But they can do it in space, no problem.
Two guys in a ship the size of them sitting down. Yeah, that's where they stored them in the back. It makes perfect sense.
I'd like to see, here's something. Don't even have to risk a person's life. Take a NASA spacesuit and bring it to that giant vacuum chamber they have. Seal up the spacesuits, like pretend someone's in it, put a dummy in it, whatever, and then put it in the vacuum chamber and tell me it's not going to explode.
Yep. Or just right now. I mean, if we believe what we're being told, we're inches away from commercial space travel. Send
it's coming.
Take you and a couple other guys and send them to space. Like, they'd be there. Yeah. It's over, right? There's the end. Well, of, they just the end said, of questioning dude, everything they say is true.
Dude, Perfect went to space with one of the Bezos a while ago.
It's a space, or he went high up in an airplane.
It went high up in an airplane, right, but right. Yeah, like that's the whole thing. I broke that video down. It's so friggin' fake. And they did everything they can to get it off of YouTube. I think it is off of YouTube. I think I have it somewhere else. But it's just like, they're like, oh, the, you know, then they all, oh, saw the curvature. They say so many clues in there. One of the things they said was, it looks unreal or something like that. They just, they always throw a little something Elon in there. On board? Yeah. Yeah. No, not Elon.
So are you a firmament guy? Is that,
I think that something? I think there's a flat sky above us, but we see in a dome. Everything we see, you know, the way our vision works, we see everything in our personal atmospheric dome. But I think the right. sky is flat.
Hmm. And that it, and does it go forever, or what's your, because I like the idea, like, okay, if what we're being told is bullshit, what's the truth? Like, what is it? Obviously, we don't own a spaceship, so that makes it a bit more difficult for us to make astronomical claims. But I like the I like theories. What all is we know, something's out there, right?
All we know is this area here. We only know this. We don't know the middle, and we don't know anything past 60 degrees south. Right now, there are some people that are at some bases in Antarctica. They all claim they never see the sun for 24 hours, but you know there is daylight. So the whole, you know, 24-hour sun proving the Earth. No one's seen the 24-hour sun. What's out there? I would bet that there's more land, more continents, more ponds. So biblically, you know, people, well, the Bible says, you know, God created the Earth. He didn't say he created other ponds. What's the Earth? Maybe this is just a tiny section of the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe.
No, but
maybe. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I'm fully on board with the idea. That's what kind of turned me on to liking the concept, is that there's more land, that we're not done exploring. But there's, I think that there's got to be something up as well. Like, so last month we had a huge meteor shower, and I've always, like, I'm the guy, I my apartment's really high up. I have a great view of the sky. I can see for miles in every direction, and I love trying to figure out, okay, if it's bullshit, what am I seeing? And there, I saw, you know, a couple shooting stars. And I went to, oh, you know what? I'm going to do my Wikipedia science. I was like, what causes a meteor shower? Because they got it. It's something. They're coming from somewhere. And so the story I found was that it's when the Earth passes through the debris field from a comet. And I thought, okay, that's an interesting story. And then I was like, wait a second, because we all seen those pictures of a comet, right? It's like the ball and then the tail of fluff flying off.
Yeah.
Which is really strange, because in space, in space there's no friction. So how?
Well, interesting. Never even thought about that. Good. Well, it's sloughing off. It just sloughs off. Don't worry about that.
But what's sloughing off? They could make because that just
as,
right there. Because
as it's turning around the great attractor, it's a centrifugal force is pushing the slough off.
It's so, centrifugal forces. Okay.
And whizzle wazzle gravity.
But here's the thing. Every August, I think second or third week in August, we have the Perseus meteor shower, whatever it is. And it's every year. And they're like, well, we're going through that path of that comet that went by, you know, 1,000 years ago or 100 years ago, whatever it was. And wait a minute. We're corkscrewing through space, traveling 4.4 billion miles a year, never to return. Is that trail following us?
That's what I don't get. Are the comets following the same path as the sun? Because that's what I'm saying. If everything's moving and everything's expanding, why can they time these really rare occurrences and go back?
Yeah, Halley's Comet goes out, you know, for 76 years, and the 76 times 4.5 billion is the number of miles that the sun has moved since Halley's was here before. How did it find us? How did it go back? And the other thing is, meteor showers, if they are what they say, they would be going up. Like right here in America, see, meteor showers are going down, but in South America, they're seeing them go up. This is up for South America. This is down for us. Right. No one has ever seen a meteor shower go up. Like, if they're going down in South America, we would see them going up in America. Mm-hmm. Right? No one's ever seen that. They only go down. That's crazy, stupid flat earther. Right? You have to strawman to glurf is my new saying. Right? Okay. They call us flurfs. I call them glurfs. And you have to strawman the flat earthers to to make
well, that's any an interesting point. Thing too, because really in space there is no up and no down. Like this, this is something that a little mental game I played with is that as soon as you establish north, like you have a north pole and a yep. south pole, you live on Earth, right? So you have a north pole, south pole. You orientate yourself from north and south, east and west. But north and south are absolute static. Once you establish north, you got south, right? Mm-hmm. If you're in space and you're, let's say, floating out somewhere and you're looking at the Earth, as soon as you can orientate yourself, then the astrophysicists will tell you there is no north in space. There is no up, no down. But for us, it is, because as soon as you look at the Earth and you see north, there's your north. So then automatically your brain is going to orientate the entire universe to north. Like, why is Earth's why north. Is or why are like to your point, why are asteroids falling down all the time?
Yeah,
like it makes no sense. They should be shooting in every direction, right? They should be coming from anywhere.
They should be going up. You should see them shooting up from the horizon. Never happens.
Or diagonally sometimes, or it's like something different. Like no,
now you'll see them. You'll see them apparently going diagonal, but never going up. So everyone remember this asteroid that came in Russia, and the car cam caught it, of course. Yeah. Look at the angle that thing's coming in at, right? Look at that angle, right? Mm-hmm. So somebody out there, I know someone's seen it. They were testing some military weapons out in Nevada in the desert low, where these planes were shooting out these ordnances that looked just like this. Excuse me. Mm-hmm. They were shooting out the ordnances that looked just like this. If anyone knows where that film is, that video is, send it to me.
I don't know. But this is, I mean, obviously to Steel Man, their argument, what they're going to say is, well, they're hitting Earth's atmosphere and it's sucking them down. So even what would look like up is actually down because they're being pulled from the sky towards Earth. So
what?
You know, it's
furious, furious people
all going comments. Down in some way. So
it furious would people like in the that. Comments right now. Oh my God. I'm just
speaking of which. So I was going to say, since the last time you were on, warned Jason, I said, there are people when you start asking questions, will lose their mind and they will start. They will never stop. And he made the mistake. He engaged.
Yeah. The people that are triggered. If you live on a globe, a physical globe, there should be easily some physical proof. Like, hey, I live on a globe. I can't see past 3 miles when I'm standing at the shoreline of a calm water because the Earth is curved. Well, that's not proof because we can actually see farther. Where's your proof of the globe? 3 Bitcoins. For whoever can come up with one globe proof.
Okay, so speaking on that, because I'm always questioning everything, and I do see things sometimes, like a lot of the time from where I live, I can see out over the water miles away, and I see the sunset there, and it's very clearly being obstructed, right? So I understand why people go to, oh, it's setting. Now, I've watched all the videos. I've seen the one where they'll take like that projector screen and slide it back. Yeah. And where the ball is sitting on a flat table, and it'll look like it's setting just because of the distance. Cause so I know that the way, especially if the atmosphere is as fluid like as it is, the way that our eyes work, like there's all kinds of things that are not what they appear to be. And so I'm always trying to figure out, and this is why I like the sort of flat Earth community, because they're the ones going, let's explain what's creating this effect. And they'll look into it, see if they can duplicate it, see what's causing it. And it's not necessarily that we're on a spinning ball hurling through space with a bunch of objects flying around us. There are other explanations, and they're just as valid, and they're ones you can actually do yourself and test them. But one that I've seen that I don't know the answer to is that when, and anyone can see this on most days, when the sun is about to set, you will see light on the bottom of clouds.
No.
You ever seen that where, so can you explain, what is that? What am I seeing with that? Because it's the bottom of the clouds will light up like in pink, right? Like when the sky color changes because the sun is about to set. What is that?
Yes. So the sun is lighting up is fluorescing the gases in the sky. It's the energy from the sun that is fluorescing them. And so when you're looking at the sun across all of the atmosphere, you're catching some of the layers that are fluorescing in the different colors. Neon is pink, and all the colors of the sunset are these gases that are being excited. So I'm just trying to show you. They say that, you know, the Mount Rainier, and for those of you that want to really see a breakdown, if you hit the web button, the more resources, and then you go down to
this debunking is David's the massive, debunk. This is David's massive grift, by the way, folks. How much is the app? How much is the app?
$3. Yeah.
$3.
Okay. Debunk
$3,000 a month, right?
Well, yes, and so it's $11 a year for the higher functioning, but you can get that for free if you want. So go to Debunking the Bunker, scroll down, and you got these videos that completely break down the clouds under the sun phenomena. And it's not a theory. We'll show you exactly what you're seeing. Sometimes, right. When the sun's far away, there could be a body of water that the light is reflecting off of, and it's lighting up the clouds that you see from your point of view. And so that's one thing.
That's interesting. But, where I look and I see, it's because it is over water. And I was like, okay, well, how do you explain that? Like, because it's one of those things. If you look at it and you don't think about it, and if you don't test it, your automatic assumption is going to be, well, the sun is below the clouds, which could only make sense if it's setting. But there's
no below anyways. You can't have a below.
Well, if the sun is setting, if the earth is round and the sun is setting, it would be below the clouds from that angle at that time only.
So look, I took this picture last year when I was in Mexico, right? Mm-hmm. There's the sun clearly below the clouds, and the clouds are dark. The bottoms of the clouds are dark. But look, the tops of the clouds are lit.
Right.
Is that sun lower than the clouds or is it higher than the clouds? Right. People are like, well, you know, I guess it's higher, but maybe it's lower because they think it's below a ball. When you're, let's say you have a highway overpass 50 feet to your left, right? Big highway overpass. And it's late in the afternoon and the sun is way over there. You can look under the overpass and you can see the sun. The sun, is it below the overpass or is it just farther away? Just farther away, right? This sun is well above these clouds. This horizon is well above your eye level. The horizon rises to thousands of feet above your eye level, but it appears to be at your eye level.
Mm-hmm. Gentlemen, before we go any further, two things. One, if you're listening to this, obviously you're watching this video, like, subscribe, share, send us some love in the comments. If you're listening to this on audiocasts, leave us a review or 5 stars or whatever the thing that you're listening to us on lets you do that. We appreciate everyone who's listening to this podcast, everyone who's made us a thing over the last year. We really appreciate you with guests like David, many, many others. We will continue this year to drop some, absolute bangers. That's our intention. You can join up to our membership program. It's $2 a month. We're in the grifting game too. We can get extra, you can get, after show, talks and, exclusive content over there. And, yeah.
Thank you. Let me show you something. All right, I'm sorry. I thought you were done.
No. Like, just two more seconds. Thank you. The other thing is I got to go. I got to get my baby ready for daycare. I'm in Australia, different time zones. It's all fake and gay, but hey.
How does that work on a flat earth?
No. I'm just living.
His hair stands up.
Yeah.
No, reverse gravity. He's actually getting more hair as he ages.
Right. I have to. Yeah, it has to go somewhere. Thank you again, David.
Thank you, Jay.
Mark, all right, man. Take it away.
All right,
Mark.
Go ahead, Dave.
So we're watching the sun. We're looking. What are we seeing here? We're looking up at a building, and the sun is moving beyond the building, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is that sun below the building, or is it just beyond the building?
Yeah. No. Clearly, it's. I've watched all of the angular resolution videos you can find. I mean, the perfect example that anyone can watch that's everywhere all the time is just watch an airplane. If you ever watched an airplane come from one side of the sky and go to the other, it does up, the exact same thing as the sun. And everybody knows that plane's flying flat.
Yeah, so exactly. So what are we seeing here? Is that sun higher than that boat or lower than the boat?
Higher.
Is it higher than the pier? Is the sun going away? What is going on? What are we looking at here?
It's higher than everything and going away. That's what I'm assuming.
In reality,
looking at a dock.
What are we looking at now?
What is that? I can't tell.
Yeah, it's
the thing that what did the dock turn into?
It's the building. Okay. So now we're looking straight up.
Yeah.
Right. So it's all about how we build the perception of what we're seeing.
Mm-hmm. So why did they start? Because my theory, because people always ask, okay, well, who did it and why? And they go back to who was it? The guy with the sticks in the well and the sun coming down. And I guess it was
Eratosthenes.
And
yeah, but that story wasn't written in any books until the 1900s.
Right. So this is like, you know, going back and rewriting history to put him in there to say, well, that's when they started thinking it. But like I've heard people, a lot of people, that it was taught in schools basically until the early 1900s. That was the most common thing that we were taught, was that the earth is flat and stationary, and that it's actually very modern. And that this is why I kind of wanted to get in. I don't know if you watch John Levy. He does the videos on Tartaria, mud floods.
I watch every John Levy video.
Because I wanted to place in that, because to me, they're almost the same story, right? Which is that at some point that we started getting lied to about everything. And my starting point is always like, okay, if you lived in the current era since 2016 and saw how completely opposite reality versus the story was, now take that same criticism and apply it to all of history, because that's about how accurate the story probably has been told to you, whether it's the settling of America, who built these cities, where they came from, what the Roman Empire was. Someone even suggested on Twitter today, there's a guy named Anatoly Fomenko, who is a Russian scientist who had the thing called the New Chronology, where he basically went through mathematics and statistics and said, like, history's bullshit. There's 1,000 years missing,
and the
church, or whoever it was, right?
Right.
And they just, and so like, yeah, the, I haven't gotten that deep into like Tartaria and stuff like that, but basically the idea is that there was a global, very advanced civilization that had free energy and everything, and they just,
it's not a theory, it's a total fact. We're figuring out who, what, when, and where. That's all the stuff that we're working on. You guys know who Sean Hibbler is, right? He did the Level series.
No.
You don't know who Sean Hibbler is? Have you watched Level with me and The Next Level?
No.
Oh, are you kidding me? Come on, man. Yeah.
Well,
on the app, if you go to the web button and you scroll down to Flat Earth Videos, and where are we going? And scroll down, Level, here. They're in the list there. So Level, then The Next Level, and then Level with me. I'm in two of those films. That's not why I'm telling you to watch them. They're well done. Sean Hibbler is one of the greatest filmmakers in this genre. This one right here, it's a nice short one, 25 minutes, One Shot at Redemption. Watch that. Fantastic. Okay. It's a great one for newbies, right? It's a great one. So this is the what I call my Flat Earth documentaries, or my crash course on my website. You can't watch these. Oh, and just why we're here, another one, The Mechanical Realm, about the Antikythera mechanism. Next time a Glober says, where's your model? It's right here, buddy. It's 2,000 years old, and it works perfectly, and it predicts everything. All right? So watch this. This is the greatest discovery about our past that's completely hidden from us. So when you talk about... Go ahead.
I've seen a lot of stuff about that piece of technology, but never in this framing. But just sort of that they found it and they don't know what it does, and it's a star map, right, basically, or something that's like an original calendar. I don't know. What do you?
Now you got to watch it. It's amazing. And while they were making it, the new Indiana Jones came out about the Antikythera mechanism. That's unbelievable. The damage control came out before the movie came out. It's unreal. It's just literally unreal. But
wow.
On the homeschool section, we got John Levy over here. But are you aware of Jake? I'm the Improbable Dreamer.
Mm-hmm.
Airships. He recently just put out some videos showing old electric cars that pull energy out of the air. Okay. And then you want to be blown away about the old world and Tartaria. My lunch break right here, the first one, top left. Fantastic. When you watch him, he's showing all these old buildings, and he said, you know, hey, this building was founded in 1801. Founded. Does that sound like builded? Right now, so people are arguing, saying, well, if that's not what founded means, you know, he proved that building was built over 100 years before it was founded. That means to me, it's a pretty good argument for founded, right? But it's not like a theory. He literally has photos of the building like 50 years before it was founded, and the old growth trees and vines on it were 100 years old, you know, so it could have been a couple hundred years old. Yeah. So again, his videos, I have to warn you, bring food and water. If you start watching, you know, they're all like 15, 20, 30 minute videos. You won't be able to stop. They're unbelievable. They're phenomenal. And the stuff that he's discovering, and it goes right back to these tunnels that they're finding in New York City, you know, getting back to the tunnel thing for a second. I remember when they were building, I think it was the Second Avenue tunnel. They decided they were going to build a new subway tunnel in New York City. And I'm like, wow, that's going to be an engineering nightmare. Right.
Right.
And then like a year later, they were done. Like the whole thing was built. I'm like, what? How did they do that? It was there already.
So they just found it. Yeah. They just,
it was there and they were just, they just cleaned it up and reopened it.
Yeah. 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 No, I've heard a lot of this stuff like that. That basically, I mean, it just, if you look at San Francisco, you know, the city out of nowhere in a year, they're like, okay, yeah, no, it's just, we put it there. And listen, full disclosure, when I first came across these stories, I was one of those Globers. Like I was already like, okay with the flat earth discussion. And then I came across this old cities thing. And I got viscerally upset because I work in real estate. I live in Montreal. It's a very old city.
Yeah.
This is, you know, McGill was founded 400 years ago. You have
buildings all over the place there. Old world buildings.
All old world. But again, the story we're told and what I originally, my sort of comeback was that, like, there's a reason that we don't maintain old buildings. Like, there's the... we know how old they are because we saw them, they've been here, they were built 300 years ago, and a lot of this stuff you'll see it's in America and they're talking about stuff 100 years ago because a lot of America is very young compared to, like, you know, Philadelphia, Montreal, New York.
Yep.
And a lot of these old, they're like, why'd they tear it down? Well, they tear down old buildings because people like windows and plumbing and elevators and modern conveniences. These old buildings, the only reason we have a lot of them still in Montreal is that the government will not let you touch them because developers they'd kill to get in there and bulldoze these things, put up something that takes, you know, 6 months to build, not 60 years. And it's got all the modern conveniences. So that was my automatic go-to. But then once you watch enough, you see, like, oh, okay, it's not just that these people don't have any idea how architecture works and why they, you know, old buildings are very inconvenient, but there's a lot of stuff that still makes no sense of, like,
they're finding, they're digging a whole down city, like,
out of nowhere.
40 yards down, they're digging for a foundation and they come across, like, brick archways and all sorts of stuff. It's just absolutely incredible. Something happened. Some mudflood happened. Some plasma event that literally transformed stuff. I mean, stuff provably turned to stone. Like biological matter turned to stone. Buildings, I don't want to say melted, but something happened to them.
Well, I don't know what it is. The old documentary, there's no trees on, there's no forests on a flat earth. I think
no forests on flat earth. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's just fascinating that, you know, the mountains and things are these old, and I love the idea of sort of like a fern gully type magic that there was, that the earth was more magical. And it's interesting because I think that same instinct applies to the Globers. I was watching old YouTube videos from, like, the Joshua Tree era. And it reminded me of a phrase I heard, that everything that deceives also enchants. And what U2 is huge, like, everybody, I think anyone didn't like them circa 1987. Because what they did, in my opinion, I'm not a musical historian, but they were the first people to, like, invent the backing track. And so they'd be like four guys up there with their instruments, but there's a whole symphony of sound coming off that stage. And everyone in the crowd's just standing there going, oh my God, how are they making all those sounds with those four instruments? Not thinking, oh, they're cheating. They recorded it. They're playing along to a recording and it sounds fucking cool. And so the whole world's like, oh my God, this is amazing. And so they like that a lot. They like the idea. People love being tricked. That's what magic is. And so that's what the Globe story is like. Oh, no, we fly in these spaceships and we do these things and people get attached to that mystical feeling. But I think you can get that feeling from questioning stuff as well. Sorry.
No problem. We were talking about the no forest on flat earth and the giant trees. Have you looked into on the app, actually, if you go again to the more resources and you scroll down to where is it? Oh, right here, giant trees.
Right. And it's those, like, and mesas.
Biogeology. No, it's worse than that. There's a guy named Hangman 127 or whatever, 1127, whatever his number name is. He's showing you trees that could have had a base 80 miles wide. Okay. Like he, and to me, it's undeniable. It's undeniable. And he shows these giant rock ridges that are just little branches from the trees. And when he shows you, like, a piece of cedar, a small piece where it's breaking down, and then he shows you a giant rock and he doesn't give you the scale of which one's which, you're not sure which one's the rock and which one's the cedar. Can I share my screen for a second? I just want to show you
Do I have to do anything?
I don't know.
I think it'll work. This is my first time running this on my end, so don't expect anything fancy.
I got it. Do I have to share with sound? I don't know. I'm going to share this. Hopefully it plays. So you can see this. This is a scene from Back to the Future, another movie that's, you know what Back to the Future is about, right? 9/11. It's the story of 9/11 and Trump being president. It's crazy. But listen to this. Can you hear this?
Yeah.
He's almost pointing at the trees.
And there's the wow.
Did that sound come through, or did my mic pick it up?
The sound was terrible, but it was
okay. And it wasn't. He's like, you don't want to. He goes. Why are we going way out here? He goes, you don't want to go into some populated area. You could crash into some tree from the past. And he goes like that at the big tree stumps, and then in also when he was in his lab, the scanning all of his stuff, there was a flat Earth clock. Okay. Did you ever see that?
No.
Yeah. Have you seen the scrawny to brawny breakdown of Back to the Future?
No.
I'll send you a playlist link. Remind me at the end, and put it in the show notes. You watch this, it's going to blow your mind. It's literally they pre-planned 9/11. This movie was all about it. And this was done in like 1981, I think, or whatever it was. Mm-hmm. Undeniable.
Yeah, I mean, well, someone planned it, so why not put it out in Hollywood? And I wonder how much of that is just coincidence, or that these things are attached in the universal subconscious, so they're in our psyche somehow. You know, I think that it could be more esoteric than just the CIA putting it in movies, but you never know. I mean, if you look into guys like Norman Lear and the Lear Foundation and how they've been putting propaganda on TV since Stanford and Son, you know, and very intentionally meant to, you know, destroy the family and all kinds of stuff that has been intentional. But like this stuff with the trees. Yeah, why can't it be that there were ancient, crazy, advanced civilizations? I mean, I think I don't know if you ever saw Joe Rogan's first ever comedy special, where he talks about the idea of like the Egyptians just walking up to the pyramids and going, "Oh, hey, look at that," and drawing all over them, and that's what the hieroglyphs are, and that all of Egyptology is complete bullshit, and that basically we just, you know, the Earth is just cycle after cycle after cycle of civilizations peaking, and then who knows what happens, some type of cataclysm or a world war, or we invent nukes and then we blow each other up and then we're reduced, you know, all the people who know how to run shit die. And then there's like eight guys left and we start from scratch and tell the myth of the flood or the myth of whatever it was. And it just keeps happening. And that's kind of my theory on the pyramids, is that's what they are. Like if you wanted to leave, it's like they're a civilizational bathroom stall writing, you know, like whatever was here in 1999, the pyramids were like some civilization. And one of the iterations got smart enough that they were like, let's build something tall and strong that will last past us and maybe the next guys and maybe the next guys, as like our mark that we were here and we were advanced. And we also knew that a cataclysm was coming. And why couldn't trees have grown way bigger back in the past? Who knows? Maybe we had a global warming period in one of these iterations of civilization where shit got huge.
It's undeniable, if you ask me. Undeniable. So
I'm trying to see whatever I had other notes here. So I don't know if you noticed why are you prosecuting Hunter?
Huh?
You have a thing against Hunter Biden?
Is this a joke?
No, so the prosecutor who is
David Weiss. Weiss. Yeah.
I was going to say, it must make it tough, because now if anybody's looking, I mean, maybe you got a big bump because everybody's Googling David Weiss.
Unfortunately, when you Google David Weiss, he comes up. I'd like people that Google him for me to come up. That would be fun.
Yeah. No. It's hopefully you want it to work in your favor, right?
Yeah. It's all right.
Yeah. No, it's interesting because a lot of people, I hear the the argument is they say, well, people don't want to believe in the globe because they want to believe in God. And I'm sure you've heard that's this a million it. Times, but that's it. Because even when you go back, they both rely on a miracle. So if you're going to go with the evolutionary story, then you go get to the Big Bang and you get, okay, well, what started that? So they always say, like, the only difference between the creation story and the evolution story is that the evolution story only relies on one miracle. But then, so it's not like one is less scientific than the other. And I even heard a great story the other day, and it was someone saying, okay, so even if you believe in evolution, people who believe in God believe that you die, you go back to your creator. So the people who believe in evolution believe that nothing exploded and created everything. And so when you die, you go back to your creator.
Or go back to nothing,
right? Which is your creator in the evolution story. Nothing exploded and made everything, and then you die and go back to it. So it's the same story. It doesn't even matter. So to say, right? Like, so to say someone has a bias because they prefer one over the other is even nonsensical. Sorry, I cut you off.
You ever hear Owen Benjamin's breakdown of the Big Bang and how it relates to the human conception?
No.
Once upon a time, there was a Big Bang, boom, and then lightning struck, a spark, that's conception. And then we evolved, and we were just amoebas, and then we turned into, you know, like a fish and a monkey, a tadpole, and that's, you know,
sperm.
That's what a baby looks like. And then we are birthed. How'd it go? And then after 9 months, and you know that you're born into this world. And it's basically the same story as the Big Bang, just over 9 months instead of 9 billion years or whatever the length of time was. They can't even make up anything new. It's all just analogies for reality.
For what exists. Yeah. Like say, let's take what exists and give it a different story and then claim, I don't know, that the magic, there's no magic. We're responsible for all of it. We created this. Worship us because we're the priests. We give you the rules. We tell you what to believe and not believe. And
we're
supposed to go along with it.
We're talking about we want to talk about why the lie a little bit. Did you see my Laura Nina video on DITRH?
No.
You can find it on my channel. It just says Laura Nina. But if you hit the FAQ section and click why the lie right there. Up comes the why the lie videos. It's the second one. And it's phenomenal. Basically, she's talking about how he who creates it owns it. And so they created the globe, which is not God's world. You know, nature's God's world. They can't change nature. They can't change it, but they can try to copy it and make their own thing. So they created the globe, so that's their fake world. And if we play on their game board with their game monopoly money, we have to abide by their rules. And that's how they created our straw man and created this fictional world that we choose willingly to live on. And people fight adamantly to stay there. But flat earthers, we've unplugged from that. We're like, no, we're out. And I don't think they can touch us. They can't touch us. Because when you unplug from their system, you no longer are abiding by their rules.
Yeah, and, I don't think
they can touch us.
No, the only thing they can do is kind of pretend you don't exist. And it's interesting because now on YouTube, because I know they went through a purge for a while where they said, we're gonna ban everything that's conspiracy theories. And they really went after Flat Earth. But then now they seem to have backed off and they're letting people kind of have free rein. I don't know what the motivation is behind that. To some extent, they're not attacking the subject as much as they were for a while. Have you experienced that at all?
There was a few short periods of time where you can search Flat Earth and a couple of things would come up. I think that I may have broken the algorithm a little bit because I'm on so many different shows that aren't shadow banned and stuff. So they don't know what to do.
they can't catch you.
And
you're the hardest working guy. I think one of the hardest working guys in media. I'm always just amazed. Like, I don't know how many shows you do a day, but it's they can't. There's no way to stop
me. I'm doing five today and I'm in Mexico right now.
Well, he's a next tier grifter. That's the whole thing,
right?
You got to graft the shell, whatever.
Jason's making sure we stay okay with the algo there. Yeah, yeah. Stop grifting, Dave.
Yes.
Right. It's interesting as to why the lie, because I had always thought maybe it was just sort of going back and covering their steps. Like maybe it started with faking the moon landing and because of the Cold War and whatever means motive opportunity. Russia was saying they were putting chimps in space or was something. So we faked it. And then they just started retconning history to cover up for it. But
let me give you my opinion on this. And it's not because of they faked the moon landings. They faked the moon landings to make you think you live on a ball, to make you think you're a monkey, to make you think that you're insignificant, make you think that you're flying through space, make you believe in all of the fear of living on a planet, asteroids, burning out suns, supernovas, all of the stuff. They want you living in fear. They want you not unplugging from their fear matrix and possibly manifesting the world that we deserve. I think a lot of these mega structures from the past were almost, I don't want to say thought into existence, but thought energy was used to create a lot of things. I don't know if I'm wording that right. You know, some people are going to freak out. Dave's saying that they're imagining buildings into existence.
But the power of intention, kind of.
The power of intention, like they have us on this ball. There's nothing else to discover, Truman, right? That's it. And if your thoughts are limited like that, you're in a mental prison. And then if you're living in fear, nuclear bombs, running out of fuel, the global warming, you know, taxes, everything, you no longer can manifest the way that we're intended to.
No, that's great. That's powerful. It's the mental prison, right? If they can convince you to turn off that part of your mind that controls your creativity, which is your inspiration to build. I mean, as Jason has, my co-host here, I'm very blessed because he is a meme machine. And by meme, I don't mean like internet memes. I mean actual memetic concepts. And so he has one called The Vengeful Sun, which is more of a political thing. But then now we've kind of, because we talk a lot of politics, current events, stuff like that. But really the through line of our show is like, what is going on in civilization? How do we change it? And now his new thing is that we want to be civilizationalists and think in terms of the long term of building something that will last, creating a system that is for human flourishing and for the ages, instead of this sort of short term boomer liberal discouraged locked in a box thing that they have you.
To that point, I figured something out yesterday. Is that the cornerstone between the thing that differentiates, truly differentiates a tribal frame and a civilizational frame is capital. And it's not just capital in terms of money. We wily grifters, y'all. No, it's capital across multiple dimensions and multiple frames. And one of those is a spiritual frame. So that you need some of these, you need these, we'll call them institutions. You need institutions that are building this capital that feeds into a civilization, and that builds civilization. And once you stop building, once you stop producing this capital, the civilizational capital, you begin to eat on your reserves. And at a certain point, you have to start importing that civilizational capital. And at some point, you run out. And then you collapse. And I feel that we're in the importing phase of
what gives you that idea? Well, yeah, no, that's it. We got to start, you know, building cathedrals again and statues and the things that the guys that built those monumental buildings thought the earth was flat.
The crazy thing is that bad. Here's the crazy thing is that Russia's about to lead the way. And as a Ukrainian, that's a kick in the nuts. But
listen, check out the guy. What was his name? Hidden Timeline or whatever. I just mentioned it before, but according to him, Russia, the hit chronology guy. According to him, Russia led the way before, and then now they just sort of hid that history. So maybe it's not the first time.
Dave, I know we're running up on time here, but maybe we can get, I don't know.
He's got something up on screen there. So
no, I'm just showing you, this is the people that are on the friend finder on my app. People say flat earth is dying. Doesn't look like it's dying to me. It looks like it's flourishing. And then, you know, people go on the app and use the friend finder to find people near them and find local people. And by the way, every blue dot on here, you have more in common with them than any dating site, job site, friend site, party will ever match you up with. You have tons in common with all of these people because they're awake and aware and unplugged from the globe satanic matrix. So, yeah,
which is again, really important.
The truth will set you free every single time.
Yeah. Right. And not only that, but having community is really, it's fundamental to just the health of yourself and your life and being productive. It's one of the most important things. So even if you're just a fan of this show, you're not crazy about or decided on the topic, you're not into Flat Earth, Dave's app is great. And things that it offers, like the Friend Finder, are massively important, because you will find people, even if you might disagree on something, they're people that are open to ideas. And they're not watching CNN, and that's the most important
thing. I'm gonna hit the outro.
Do it.
And I gotta go check on my baby, David. Okay. Give it a second. Sorry, David. Thank you very much. Always a pleasure. We'll have you on again soon. I'd love to get you on a panel show, man.
You can find me at flatearthdave.com. I'd love that. Let me know.
Yeah, we'll get you on one.
Please do the grift, my friend. And look, I know I'm saying that with all the love, because like. Trust me, like the amount of comments we get are just unhinged, and I don't know you from nobody, man. But I have a very very let's say prolific sense of bullshit meter, and if you were tipping off anything, we wouldn't have had you back. And you, sir, are a gift. So, and I'm not saying that just to shine your shoes. I honestly think you're definitely onto some things, and so please. Take it away, Dave. Tell the people where you can get you. Where's the app?
You can find anybody wants a, you know, if you have a show or know a show that I should be on, reach out at flatearthdave.com. Check out the Crash Course, of course. Get the app. All my socials are on there. My YouTube channel, DITRH, it's a great place to start. All my videos are under 5 minutes. Most of them are under 5 minutes. A lot of them under 2 minutes. But the website is tons of information. There's no reason that anybody could go there and not become a flat earther unless their brains are completely fluoridated and deionated.
Nice. All right. Thank you very much, Dave. Jay, right. Thanks for coming back on to sign us off. Ladies and gentlemen, stay tuned, like, subscribe, share if you enjoy this kind of content. And we look forward to being back next week.
See ya.
Ciao.